Welcome back to Brass Tacks. This is Sanka Price with you, along with Michelle Bradford. Of course, at 12:30, you get the latest. And I have on the line Minister of Education, Ms. Santia Bradshaw. And I was running her down, trying to find out about all these school children I'm seeing playing at the beach and just being on the street and going shopping with their parents and whatnot. And the question I wanted to ask her was, what should parents be doing at this time for their children, trying to encourage them to do some lessons and whatnot. And and now I heard in Stetson telling me that there's going to be a postponement of the 11 plus. But anyhow, let's deal with the first question. Good afternoon or welcome,
Ms. Hi, Bradshaw. Good afternoon, Sanka. Thank you. Yes, it is difficult what we're all going through, and it's perhaps even more difficult for children because we're asking our kids basically to not play with others, not to go outside and engage in activities that they normally would engage in. So it's a really difficult time for them because I think kids may not always understand why they cannot do the social distancing that adults are being also asked to do. But what I would encourage families and certainly parents at this point in time to do was really to look at a number of the resources that are available online if you have access to the internet, to be able to ensure that kids can basically, engage in the online medium with other subjects that they would normally have been doing at school. So I think you need to find ways to engage them with the devices, with educational platforms, as opposed to allowing them to just be playing randomly with games and stuff like that. I think now is the time for parents to really step up a bit more as well and watch what your children are watching and what they're doing as well in the household.
Okay. That would be a good idea because, as I said, any beach that you go to these days, I mean, they have so many children at the beach. It's like a long holiday. Clearly, the ministry has made a decision that, with the postponement of the 11 plus now, that they need to... that this situation with COVID is going to get worse, or the situation is going to be as bad as it is now. And given that, you cannot have this exam. Now, does that mean that schools will not be reopening?
I think, first of all, Sanka, the postponement of the examination is necessary at this stage because I think the 11 plus, more than any other exam, creates so much anxiety for parents and for students and even for teachers as well. So I think to put the pressure on parents and teachers and students at this point, during this period, wondering what is going to happen, I think the ministry has to be proactive and to allow everyone to appreciate that we may start the term on the 14th of April or we may not. But from the outset, I think I want people to be aware that we will take steps to postpone the examination. And in the first instance, if we can start on the 14th of April, we're saying we're going to give persons enough time to be able to reintegrate into the learning environment once we get the all clear to be able to go back into school. I don't think any of us can say what is going to happen in the next couple of days or weeks, but I think just as the CXC has been doing as well and all across the world, everyone is just, taking it in stages. The first stage is to give people the comfort that they're not going to be under the pressure that they may ordinarily have been under in order to be able to sit the exam while having to deal with COVID-19 and all that it brings with it. But at the same time, the ministry has to continue to plan as the dynamics constantly change as well. About a week ago, we were discussing the whole issue of closing schools, and our dynamics changed within a matter of hours. We were having a conversation online, consulting with our stakeholders, and we did intend to close school, but at the same time, the dynamic changed within a matter of hours and we had more cases. And we also knew that there would have been alarm created as well within the school environment. So at each stage, I think the public has to appreciate that decisions are being taken because of information that comes to hand, but also because there's a lot of anxiety. And I think we want to be in a position to prepare our teachers as well to teach in a virtual environment. 2 weeks ago, we started to retrain our IT coordinators in the schools to ensure that they were equipped to be able to set up the email addresses for our teachers, those who didn't have them, to be able to make sure that any questions that they had in terms of being able to deliver instruction online, that those were answered. And even with the limitation of numbers presently, we're having classes conducted online for our teachers. So while our physical classes are not taking place, behind the scenes, the Ministry of Education is being very proactive in ensuring that the teachers actually have the necessary support systems in place to teach in a different environment. We've had discussions with the telecommunications providers, and those are ongoing, regarding trying to get students who may not have access at home to Wi-Fi or even to devices to be able to see how we can also cater for those students. Because I think that's been a big concern that many have had. I've had private sector persons as well reach out and offer to assist with devices. And also as a government, we've been exploring the ability to have devices brought in as well. So those are all some of the systems that we've been putting in place because we don't want to disadvantage any child in the current environment as well.
And what about access? Like, one of the things one of the challenges that has been repeated over the years now is that mm-hmm. there are quite a few households that really don't have any access to the internet whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And of course, well, you made the point that more devices are coming in. Maybe hopefully they will cover that, and plus the Aaron Trust Foundation, they've been giving up quite a few tablets for quite some time. But the main concern is about access to the internet. How is that such a major problem? Has any survey been carried out in any of the schools to find out which children have access and which don't?
Yes, in fact, as we've been speaking with the teachers as well, because some of the teachers, obviously, because they're so close to the students, they also have information, as do the principals, in relation to children who will have these issues of connectivity. So we've been training, we've been trying to gather that information from within the educational system so that we can target those households specifically to ensure that the children have access to devices. So that is ongoing. We're collecting the data just to make sure that they can access the devices. But we're really glad that the private sector has come forward yet again. We encourage more to do the same to be able to help us to at least get through this very difficult period. But I'm grateful to those who have basically called and said, you know, they're committed to assisting us to have those children who are most in need have access to the devices while they're home. With respect to the telecommunications providers, they're looking obviously at improving the connectivity across the country. We're using a program called G Suite for Education. It's been around a few years, but it has not had its full implementation and rollout in the educational system. But this is a platform that we have basically agreed that this should be the platform that all of our teachers are using. It is free. It allows us to be able to control the email addresses and the information that is basically sent out on the portals. And that is what we are training our teachers in presently, so that our students and parents in due course will also have the relevant information to be able to access learning online from those teachers. What I can tell you as well is that we've been utilizing the Gordon Cummings Studio. We've also been in communication with the Caribbean Broadcasting Corporation. And both entities have provided the platform for us to have channels dedicated to learning, to online learning. So you will soon see a number of programs being rolled out both at the Gordon Cummings Studio, which will be former audiovisual aid, with persons basically being able to come together to teach classes online as well. A number of the tertiary institutions have gone in that direction, and we too obviously will now have to do it as well with the primary and the secondary institutions.
I'm going to put you on the spot. How soon is soon? Another month, another 6 weeks, another 2 months?
We are working as quickly as we can. Obviously, the programs have existed, but in terms of the training, we had to retrain our ITC coordinators, and we're in the process of setting up the various email accounts. Now, what I can tell you is that because we had to close school early, obviously, we would not have been able to capture a number of the kids at the school at the time. So now contact has been made with parents and obviously students through the teachers as well to be able to help to facilitate that process. But in the course of the next few days, the intention is to make sure that the public is aware, in particular parents are aware, that G Suite for Education is going to be the medium through which the Ministry of Education will be using to get in contact with them and certainly to get in contact with their children to continue this form of education online. And they also need to be making contact to make sure that they are armed with the necessary resources to continue education from home.
If there's one thing that COVID-19 has certainly shown me, and I think some other people, is the need for greater connectivity. But do you think that this is going to change the whole way in which children are taught in the future?
Most definitely. I mean, it takes me back to the days when the current Prime Minister would have been talking about edutech and the importance of technology in schools. I mean, I think we've barely scratched the surface in terms of how technology can really transform the classroom environment. I think we've had a lot of platforms available to us. Like I said, this G Suite for Education has been around, but people have sometimes not been receptive to the changes that are necessary in education. And I think this is like a perfect opportunity. While it's a crisis as well for the country, it is also a perfect opportunity for us to really, as a people, embrace the technology, not lose sight of practical things, because I think there's still a place for the face-to-face instruction. But I think the blended model of online and face-to-face instruction going forward is going to be critical, because I think when teachers realize that they can actually reach students in this way, but also parents, get excited over the fact that they can have children's attention while they're at home, working with a teacher, in the home environment. I think this is a complete shift from what we were accustomed to, but it's also a necessary shift given what we're going through now, but really trying to keep up with what's happening globally as well.
Okay, great. Minister, I asked you for 10 minutes and you were gracious enough to give me 10 and a little bit over. So thanks. At the end of the day, it's a postponement of the 11 plus for a month, and you're playing it by ear as far as the reopening of school is concerned, correct?
We are working towards the 14th, but obviously, like I said, dynamics are changing every single day. What I would also suggest, Anka, is that the public reach out to our online mediums, the mes.gov.bb, and our Facebook pages for information in relation to not just the common entrance, but in relation to the G Suite for Education, as well as even the O-level examinations that are coming up for CXC. Because we are obviously working with the CXC as well, the regional body, to be able to postpone some. We've had to postpone some of our examinations and face-to-face testing. And all of that information will be available online as well, so that persons can get a sense of exactly what has been postponed and what has been suspended. There's some classes that CXC has not, and some examinations that CXC has not specifically said are being suspended as yet, because they are probably in like the second week of April. So it's too early to say. But for the most part, anything that would have engaged the moderators and the students, where they would have been in groups of more than 25, those classes have been, and those examinations have indeed been suspended right now. So that we will give updates as information comes to hand and as the situation changes.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. You're welcome.
Thank you. That was Minister of Education, Santhe Bradshaw, and she, of course, talked about the 11 plus and being postponed for a month, and the fact that they're working towards reopening schools on April 14th, but the situation is fluid right now, so that we'll see what happens with that. And of course, you can join us at 12:30 at the latest to get a full information from Stetson and the crew on the whole postponement of the 11 plus and other things that are happening within the Ministry of Education that the minister would have spoken about to the news team. We go back to our phone lines for another call. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Sanka.
Yes, good afternoon. How are you?
Pretty good. Sanka, I want to call on the management of the Royal Bank to kindly put some type of advertisement out there so as to advise the general public as to what type of special measures they have put in place at this time of crisis, so as to make life a lot more easy for their old age and disabled customers. And finally, Sanka,
before you go on there, what exactly is the challenge you're having right now? Could you just spell it out?
No, I'm hearing that you have been raised some very, very long lines, Sanka. And you can imagine, let's say, someone
has problems with their feet.
Yeah, who has a disability, like a challenge in standing for a long time. Things like that,
Yeah.
So I heard the Royal Bank, not the Royal Bank, Republic Bank put out an ad earlier, I think yesterday, advising that, let's say, between the hours of 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. in the morning, there will be special accommodation for the disabled and old age pensioners. I get the impression they would not have to go and stand in the long lines.
Okay.
You heard that ad, Sanka, from Republic Bank?
I heard something like that, but I can't.
Yes. So I was just wondering. You know, the banks usually come together whenever they are raising fees. So I was just hoping in this time of crisis, since the Republic Bank is so accommodating and nice to do something like that, that all the banks will come together on this occasion and do likewise. Making any sense, Sanka?
Yes, making sense. Move on to the next point.
Yeah, look, and the coronavirus, one good, I use the word good thing about it. It does not discriminate, Santa. Prince Charles, I heard in the news, he has the coronavirus. You know, in the past, Santa, whenever we have the terrible viruses going around, for some reason, they always end up in Africa and these types of places, you know? So at least coronavirus is not discriminating. It's touching all of us, Santa. You take care.
All right, thank you very much. And we'll try to get a couple more calls before the latest at 12:30. You're on the air, good afternoon. Good afternoon, you're on the air. We go to another one. Let's try this one. You're on the air, good afternoon. Okay, another one. You're on the air, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, sir, go right ahead.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm well. And you?
Yes, I'm giving thanks. I'm just sending this as a warning to the nations that we cannot go completely computerized in this age. We should use 30% computerized and 70% manual. Because if we have a shipping problem where gas or the fuel cannot come, we'll have an electrical shutdown. Then all computers will be actually obsolete. Sir, and it's not really thinking nicely to take the national insurance to tell them that they can compulsory send people's money on banks.
Nobody said anything about compulsory.
Pardon?
Nobody said anything about compulsory. I certainly didn't say that.
No, I know you didn't say that, but I mean that is the way they're going. You should have a vote to make sure at least...
The National Insurance asked people, I remember a few years ago, asked people about this. In fact, they did it on more than one occasion, asked people about this, because I have elderly parents, so I know what I'm talking about here. All right, and my parents ain't want no direct debit either, although I've tried to encourage them to take it. They ain't want that either. They want the check. Because there's some people who would, that's what they're accustomed to.
But sir.
And they will take, and they prefer that.
Sir, but do you know that your parents are extremely intelligent? Because we passed through the age after the Second World War, when we realized that we had to go back to the ground. All these things that we have as gadgets have parts, have to come from Japan and China. And when these parts are not available to house the computer age, then we have to understand that our manual mathematics will be the viable order in which we can progress again, we can come from bottom again. But if we go completely computerized, then our children become illiterate to the point of mathematics and writing manually. Then we have a great problem.
Sir, I totally disagree with you on that aspect. I totally disagree with you on I don't know, we come with 30% and 70%. I don't know why that ratio. Not 60-40? Why not 20-80?
We must go in the end.
Really?
We're going to go take it because it's going to happen. Automatically, all the computerization will fall down.
Right.
It is not. We never had it before. And it's not a new entity. And we can see all the points where it cannot last, sir. Hello?
If you say so. You have a good day, we move on to another call just before the latest. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Sanka?
Yes, sir.
Right. I call a connection with a matter here to do with the pharmacies and owners, because I help. There's a old lady I help. She's in her 80s. So I took a bearer's note to one of the leading pharmaceutical suppliers in the island yesterday, and they said that they're not honoring the bearer's note anymore. Let me give you the background to the bearer's note. The thing about the bearer's note is that if the patient have to pay for the medication, the doctor would get them review social welfare, whatever. And after doing that background check, then they would decide to give them the bearer's note, which means they would get the medication at cost. So I turned up yesterday, and this supplier said to me, we're not honoring them anymore. There was no notice or anything. So I proceeded to get, they said I would have to get a regular prescription written by the same doctor to get the medication from a pharmacy of choice. So I did that, turn up at the pharmacy, and lo and behold, there are three items on the prescription. And one item, the first item, costs more than what she was paying for the three items at cost. So you can tell me what is this old lady to do? She's in her 80s.
That is one of those situations that continues to happen, and that's why some Barbadians are determining price gouging. But it's not really price gouging per se, but it is one of those things that is happening and it's causing real difficulty in our society right now. And I really can't discuss it much more because we have to break for the latest at 12:30. But this really should not be happening. Information should be passed on to let people know that the bearer's note is no longer accepted. But is it a case that this is a small pharmacy and you can get it done?
No, this is a lead-in.
Lead-in pharmacy. And
name.
Okay. Yes, I'm with you. As I said, it really shouldn't be happening, but we can't debate it anymore because we really have to break for the latest. So if you want, you can stay on the line, but we have to go for the latest. Welcome back to Brass Tacks, and listen to those stats by David Ellis just now, especially for Spain and Italy. You have to wonder about the Chinese action. The Chinese took decisive action, and they basically rustled this thing to the ground, and they certainly now seem to be able to be coping with the number of cases, and things seem to be slowing down there. However, in Europe, where a lot of people initially didn't take it too seriously and they didn't want to change, adapt their lifestyle to and listen to what the authorities were saying, it just took off, and we're seeing the results of that behavior as well, of the fact that you have a lot of older people in those countries, and some of those young people went out there, went back into the household, and that's one of the problems. And you know, it's a lesson for us here. Just let's look at what the Italians and the Spanish are doing wrong and what the Chinese did right. And let's use the best model to ensure that we can survive this onslaught from this virus. During the break, I managed to speak to a pharmacist just to follow up the call that I had on the line about not honoring bearer's notes at pharmacies. And because it really disturbed me, I must tell you. And pharmacist dummy, he hasn't had any official word as yet, but he understands that some distributors have made a decision that they can no longer do that. It was causing them too much of a financial headache, and it was going to be discontinued. But as I said, it's no official word as yet. It's apparently has just happened. So caller, if you're still listening, apparently that is what is happening.
Yes, I'm here, Zach.
Oh, you're still here. Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Here, yeah. Oh, yeah. I did tell you that you can hold on. Yes.
Correct.
Yeah, but that's apparently is happening.
The issue here is that I think it's a matter of principle. The Prime Minister is trying her best to get these entities to honor their arrangements,
mm-hmm.
their word. But I find that people come on television and other media, say one thing, representing the merchants, but the merchants are doing something totally opposite to what their leaders are saying. that they have committed themselves to, they're not doing it. Because while I was there yesterday, several other people turned up. I had to turn away distraught because they don't have the money. They didn't come planning to pay. And you can imagine turning away and can't get your medication. In many instances, like the lady I went for, she only had 2 tablets left.
Wow.
What is she going to do? Because I went and get the doctor to write the prescription, took it back to the same company pharmacy. And they said, look, you can get the generic drug free, but you, if you want the brand, you have to buy it. And this way, too, I'll give you the background, but I'm going to encapsulate it very short. She was stabilized on the branded drug. She's a QEH patient. She was stabilized on the branded drug. The drug service went the route of removing the branded drug and replacing it with the generic. For whatever reasons there were.
Cost.
However, she did very poorly on the drugs, the generic drugs. Actually, she became very, very ill. So the consultant said that she was not the only person. Several other people had the same problem and they took her off and suggested to me that I'm going to have to, she's going to have to buy the brand. So they did a little rundown on her background and her what she could afford to do and decided, well, the next best thing they can do is give her the, what we call it again, the bear's note.
The bear's note, yeah.
That will reduce some of the cost.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine the mood she was in when I got back to her yesterday, when I went by her house and told her, you can't get these drugs unless we can find the money.
Yeah.
Sanka, this is so serious. I've been trying to get a hold of Cindy Ford, which she will fall under.
People's empowerment, yeah.
I'm unable to reach her. I was trying to get Ms. Boone, Rice Boone, can't reach her either. People that would probably be able to tell me where to turn. The merchant, I was already unable to speak to anyone who was in any real position to hear this old lady play. So they wouldn't even put me through to somebody that could probably say, well, look, just in this situation for now, let's honor. I couldn't even get to speak to anybody that would have been able to make that decision. So I call you because I don't know what to do for a pensioner who lives alone, who's in her 80s. Her funds cannot even tear her through the month. Other people have to help her. We don't know where to turn. One drug, as I told you, 15 tablets. 15 tablets. Now, there's just a month's supply. 15 tablets costs nearly $100. One tablet. This is one drug, you know. I ain't tell you what it costs the other three. The other two. They're three. They're three altogether.
Mm.
That's the cost of one. What to do, Sanka, because I don't know what to do.
What to do right now is to leave your number with Michelle, the producer. So don't go off the line. Just leave the number with Michelle, and
okay.
I will get back to you off ear. Just continuing on this, though, what people need to what has been recognized, and I know some people personally who have gone through this, sometimes when the shift is made to generics, you sometimes do very poorly on them. I'm not saying this is the case of all generics because that is not the case. But in some cases, some people who were on hypertension drugs and diabetic drugs, that's the brand name drugs, where they had sort of dual protection. You found that as soon as you shifted to the generic, they started to get difficulties. The lack of control of their blood pressure in terms of the hypertensive drugs was not there. And some people have had to switch back to the branded drug. So as I said, this is something that is happening. And this is why the whole idea of people just going and buying up, one person going and buying up 3 and 4 and 5 months supplies of drugs is wrong. Wrong, and should not be encouraged at all. And pharmacies need to guard against that. They really should get no more than 2 months so that other people who are afflicted in the same way could at least get an opportunity to get their medication as well. So let's hope that we can sort that out. And to that caller, I will certainly make a few more calls, and I'll call you back to see what we can come up with to help that that lady. We go back to the phone lines. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Price.
How are you today, sir?
I'm remarkable, thanks. Thank God for that.
Good.
There's always room for improvement, but I'm good, thanks. Mm-hmm. And you?
I'm good.
Right. I'm glad to learn this. Mm-hmm. Now, okay. Now, before I start my presentation today, I want to ask for two persons. A lady I was speaking to earlier this morning asked what has become of Mr. Agriculture. And I said, when you're thinking like me, I was asking for the week what has become of caller Arthur. I hope they are both well. You know, I haven't heard both of them recently. So I hope they're both sorting themselves out and being looked after and getting the assistance and whatever. And I wish they can come and at least let their presence be felt by calling or something to relieve any concern that persons will have as regarding two of them.
Yeah. Actually, right. I was thinking about Arthur in particular because I haven't heard him in quite a while.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, quite a while.
Right.
Anyhow, go ahead and make your point.
My topic today, there are two things that are concerning me, and I peeve about them to some extent. Now, that caller just touched on some of what I want to say. Now, Prime Minister Morley, in her good regard, is doing all her best to get people to come wrong, to work with her, do things that would be affordable and helpful. Look, you're inundated there with calls as persons with getting pension. You see, you hear that lady? I didn't take her number and whatever, too, just like the gentleman there just now. With the lady that says that, she's out of wit saying, now, they're telling you to keep your stress level down, try to bring up your resistance level. And I have been on the air last week or sometime with this same thing, but this resistance, if you're under stress, it's going to impair and impact on your resistance. I'm not a doctor. But we've learned this over time, hearing the medical person saying, once you're stressed out, it'll lick up your immune system. So on the one hand, here, keep your resistance, do things to build your resistance, take vitamins, da-da-da-da. But all these callers this morning are stressed, you know? So you see the contradiction here, Mr. Price? All of them, you can hear it, stress. Ain't no way better turn, what to do next. And the PM is asking not to have this happen. Now you see this thing about this gouging and thing? There was a caller, the gentleman in the Sun March 15th, at the back, no gouging. Sir, and I've made this point already, you can only speak for yourself, but you can't speak for unilaterally across the board for everybody. I am saying, and I'm sufficiently satisfied, this gouging has always been gouging, sir. You can speak for yourself. I ain't had no quarrel with you doing that. But I'm saying they're unscrupulous people all along that gouging, and doing his delight. And the Prime Minister got a task of climbing Mount Everest backward first before she gets some of them come around.
I'm always a little wary of just making that charge without the evidence. And there are also always reasons to suggest why there are these increases. I can't really get into it right now because we have to take a break here, but I'll develop it when we come back. Welcome back to Brass Tacks. And the last call I was dealing with, he was talking about price gouging, and I said I couldn't get into it. Now, I've got a number of WhatsApp, but I think this one encapsulates the point that was being made by the caller. This person says, I went into a certain pharmacy to purchase my usual supplement, which costs about $42.75. I was taken back when I realized it is now priced at $52.75, which is basically $10 more. Is this not price gouging? Or maybe I need to get to have my eyes checked. Just wondering. A number of people are complaining about such price increases. Some suppliers, and I've been in touch with at least two suppliers, and they have told me in terms of their shipments, first of all, the whole supply chain has been messed up because of this coronavirus, so that if you're getting supplies from the States or even further afield, some factories are not working, or they're not, or the level of production has been reduced for whatever, because people are out sick, whatever reason. But the whole thing about it is that these set of shipments now coming in are much more expensive. In fact, this is, one of them told me, and if we close the borders, it'd be even worse. In fact, if you look at Today's Nation, the lead story on page three, we have Paul Gibson, who is the spokesman for health of the Opposition People's Party for Democracy. He's a pharmacist. And he was talking about the same drug, hydroxychloroquine, and that you heard in the news, where Shelley Ware was wondering about where they're getting it from and whatnot. And he said that a shipment was expected in the island between yesterday and today. If our borders are closed, those shipments going to come in. So, but that's another issue. But I just want to emphasize that. That is why we have to, when we talk about closing our borders, that is why we have to look at the whole issue and not just one specific aspect of it. But in any case, as I was saying, the situation is one where a lot of shipments are now coming in even more, costing even more than the previous shipments. And some merchants are saying that this is the reason why their things cost more. Are they telling the truth? I have no way of knowing. But I do know from my reading that all of the world, also in all of the Western world, this is one of the complaints that you're getting, that prices have increased. And people are suggesting it's price gouging. Unless we know for sure, by way in terms of inspectors in the consumer affairs departments going out there and double checking these things, we really have no idea of knowing. So I'm just putting those facts out there, putting that information rather out there, so that you would know. Also, let me just put out there, I've been sent a note by someone from the National Insurance Department, and they've allowed us to know that this calling program is being monitored, and that the issues that are raised are going to be looked at. So they're quite aware of this problem with late checks, and apparently it's being investigated. So hopefully we'll be able to get some more information. We finished at 2 today, and I'm hoping to get a call from an official there. So let's hope they keep their word to me and they give me that call. And if I do, you'll be the first to get it. We go back to the phone lines. Good afternoon.
Yeah, Mr. Price.
How are you, sir?
I'm still here.
Oh, listen, sorry. Sorry.
You listen to me, sir. You want to hear something?
Yeah, I didn't realize. I thought you had gone.
Sir, your car was incomplete. Listen, You know, you came out here and you said you bought an item. It was a juice or something?
Not me. I was reading from a WhatsApp.
No. Some time ago, you came on the air and you said you bought something. You knew the item. I remember what it is. It's one of those things. It's not pomegranate juice. It's one of those. I'm most certain it's one of those things that good to say help gentlemen with the plastic and thing. You bought something and you said
me?
You were amazed.
You got it wrong.
You
fire.
Had a appearance and price and you came on the air with it. I will recall. I will check back. But don't spend any time on that. Because you were alarmed at it. Is ice cream? Something you came on here with, man. I remember. Anyhow, I don't know why. You're hearing, look, this is not no recent thing that I'm dealing with. Because I've been speaking about prices from in the 80s. So I'm not no coming. And I've got evidence. I've been refunded money. I've highlighted prices to the vast magnitude, $100 more, $50 more, all kind of things. For years I've been doing this. So is there anything about no support? I'm not sure that you're sorry, sir. I'm not being hostile toward. I'm only saying, it's nothing about any port and this new development with the corona and the shipping, whatever. This is something that I've been relentlessly on for some time, and other persons have come on the air over time and placed their position as regarding. Now, another thing with this utility.
Before you go on that, I don't take it that you're I don't take it in any way. There was something, and that was something the Sunday Sun was doing some years ago when we were looking at prices, and I remember having a list of prices. I can't remember if I said it on the air, but we had a list of prices, and one item in particular
one item you highlighted.
There was one item that I remember that I talked about because call those veggie hot dogs. They have some name. But anyhow, they're these veggie hot dogs.